This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Living free.
Thanks to Risen Frequency Radio for another great show, playing tracks and chatting with Collingwood artists. Welcome to Living Free, a one-hour show in which we highlight one of the many programs that assist in recovery from drugs, alcohol, gambling and food addictions. Now, normally we'd have guests on to share their recovery story and highlight their experience, and highlight that shared experience saves lives. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 on the AM dial, or 3CR on digital radio, or maybe even live streaming on 3cr.org.au. My name's Michael, and today it's a bit unusual. I'm in the studio by myself. I don't think I've ever done this where I've sat here by myself. I've got some clips to play. It's our Radiothon week, second week of the Radiothon, and I'll be playing some clips from the shows from the last year, just bumbling my way through, I think, trying to highlight that that addiction, where addiction comes from, that it can get anybody. You know, there's no set group of people that find themselves to be addicted to substances or their behaviours. And listening to some of the stories of the people who have come into the studio and chatted with us this year, and asking for money as we try and support the radio station for another year. So before we do that, I'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which 3CR transmits people-powered radio. We'd like to pay our respects to elders past and present, and to acknowledge that the material and spiritual connection of Aboriginal people to this land was stolen from them. Before we start, I'd like to remind you that the Living Free show may involve discussion of topics such as suicide, mental illness, self-harm or family violence, so please practice self-care and care of others whilst listening. As said, I'm in the studio today by myself. It's Radiothon week. We encourage you to call up or make a donation to this particular show or 3CR in general, and you can do that by calling the radio station on 9419 8377 or going to 3cr.org.au to make that donation. Every donation helps support ongoing efforts of the volunteers of the station that come in and bring their experience to the lives of others. So I thought I'd start today with a chance to just play some clips of some introductions from the shows where we at the start of the show we like to ask individuals what it was like to be a younger person and grow, what they would look like when they were growing up, and really that was to highlight that as said, it's addiction isn't discriminatory; it can get anybody and whatever your background, it doesn't pick people out. So I'm just going to start with just an 8-minute clip of maybe five or six different people just talking about their background, and then I'll come back and have a bit of a chat about. Well, I'll have a chat. I'll be speaking about my experience around that. So we'll start with this.
So my family immigrated from the UK when I was, still quite young. I wasn't quite four, and we felt like a really close-knit family. It kind of felt isolating even as a child because we didn't have, that extended family there. But, my mum and dad, they, did the best for us that they could with what they had. And, my childhood was really good early on. I was a shy, awkward child. I enjoyed things like bird watching and that kind of thing didn't go down too well at school. I got picked on for those sorts of interests. So I naturally gravitated towards, the naughty kids because I felt like I could be safe and protected. I do remember being an anxious child, felt very anxious when my mum would go to work. And I hated going to school in kinder. I remember my mum dropping me off at kinder and hiding under the desk and crying and not wanting to come out because I wanted my mum. I didn't want to, play with the other kids. So I was just an anxious kid from the get-go.
Fair enough. What were the naughty kids into? What were their kind of hobbies?
I don't know. They were more, at that stage, they were more like the bullies. I felt like if I stuck around with them and I wouldn't get picked on. Because they'd target, unfortunately, the weaker,
vulnerable
people. More vulnerable, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's the sort of kids I was hanging out with in school. I did have other friends that weren't bullies that were into more, you know, nerdy topics, hobbies like myself.
Yeah.
But I always gravitated towards the bad kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think when I first got sober, my childhood was full of woe and it was full of hardship. But looking back from this perspective, I had a pretty good childhood. You know, I came from a pretty standard family. There was me and a sister, a mum and dad, and, you know, I had access to all the things that I wanted. You know, I had a good education, and when I decided I loved horses, which many young girls get to that point in their lives, I was like, Mum, I want to go to pony club. And Mum and Dad scratched around and they got me some riding lessons, which was incredible. You know, I played a lot of sport and, you know, was pretty good in school. And yeah, there was no great crime in my family or no great traumas or anything like that. There was, you know, normal sort of dysfunction and arguing and stuff like that. But generally, I think we were a pretty normal family.
Thanks, Michael. Don't an alcoholic. As I, look, my childhood wasn't particularly dysfunctional, I don't think. There was, I was born in Hobart in the mid-60s, and we moved around a lot with Dad's work, my father's work, and, you know, I wasn't in Hobart for long, then we moved to Launceston, and then you get transferred to Warrnambool. So I came to the mainland when I was, you know, pretty young, but there was still kind of family, you know, extended family in Tasmania, you know. So moving from, like, even then it was from kindergarten to school. We stayed in Warrnambool for, I don't know, 3 years or something, as I remember, as a child. And
growing up as Lisa was actually quite confusing. You know, I acknowledge that I am somebody in recovery today. However, I grew up in a household that was far from recovery. My mother had the illness of addiction, and unfortunately, she didn't ever go into recovery and lost her life to this disease. But as a young person growing up in that household, it was pretty chaotic, very unmanageable and really, really tough. So I was born Sydney. We came down to Melbourne when I was two. Dad was a high-powered pharmaceutical rep, and Mum chose to be the dutiful wife at home. And I think for Mum and Dad, they were a couple that perhaps thought they were a good fit until they weren't. You know, Mum started drinking very early on.
Well, I had a couple of parents that were problems with alcohol. I certainly felt like I was different, you know. I felt less than. There wasn't a lot of love shown. There's no hugging, I love you. So there's no encouraging of self-esteem and self-worth and things like that. So I felt different, and I didn't feel like I could talk about, bring up issues and things like that, you know, and I felt less than as a child.
So brothers and sisters, big family?
Yeah, I had a sister that's a year and a half born after myself, a brother that was born 6.5 years after myself, and another brother that was born 14 years after when I was born.
Wow. Okay. So, and you grew up in Melbourne? Did you grow up in?
I grew up in the country.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I'm one of the rare people in Alcoholics Anonymous who had a very loving, alcohol-free, supportive, you know, environment to grow up in. And I thought that when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I was just like a really good person with an alcohol problem. But actually, over the time in recovery, I've like started to realize where my alcoholism or my dis-ease with life actually started. And it actually started as a child in this very loving environment. You know, I started manipulating situations. I was manipulating my parents. I was lying a lot. I really wanted things to be the way that I wanted them to be and not the way that the world was making them.
Yeah, look, I grew up around the Bulleen, Doncaster, Templestowe area. Probably middle class. Old classes is middle class. Although my mum and dad always made us feel like we were poor. And we weren't poor, looking back on it now, but they always made us feel like we were poor. And so I always felt a little bit different. I went to Templestowe Primary School, and I always felt I didn't quite fit in. I wasn't in the in crowd, but I wasn't with I had to say loser crowd, but the nerdy crowd. I was sort of caught in no man's land, and I think I carried that for in the teenage years. Yeah, I just didn't quite fit in with people. I tried to. I was a good sportsman. I played a lot of sport. Pretty good at most sports that I tackled. Not academic wise, I struggled. School was a struggle. I didn't find school easy, and was too frightened to ask for help.
Oh, it was great. I had a fabulous childhood. I learned to read when I was about 3, and there were always books in the house because I had older siblings and we had a library. And I was the youngest in a big family, and I had a very, very happy time as a reading child. Yeah, it was good.
So you grew up in Melbourne, did you grow up?
No, I grew up in country Victoria, and my parents met about 3 minutes after the war, and then they married and had a lot of kids, and they never had any money. I don't know how they did it when I look back at it as an adult, but my childhood was very, very trouble-free.
I'm old now, I can't hardly remember, which is really a bright spot. I grew up in the southern suburbs of Melbourne, very middle class, Catholic mother, very religious, and an immigrant father who I kind of figured might be a bit of a rat bag, and I reckon it was his war zone. That was the best way of putting it. But, you know, I've been sober a long time. I've had a lot of time to think about my childhood, and I reckon I lived a double life right from the beginning. I was an older boy at one thing, and then involved in scouts and sports and all that sort of stuff, and then I learned a way to steal, you know, bob a job in scouts. I learned a way to manipulate the money and steal the money. That's pretty much the way I lived, and be nice one way and then shifty as soon as the back was turned, and getting out of trouble was, you know, and was a great feat of what I did, you know, and yeah, that two-facedness, I reckon. That's how I grew up, and, you know, and...
Yeah, that was just a small chunk of people that had come into the studio during the year and just explained what their upbringing was like. And, you know, starting with Lucy, who talked about, you know, the fact that she was anxious and she felt like she didn't fit in. And Lisa talking about having such a good, you know, a good childhood and had access to a good life. And Don, you know, talked about moving around a lot, and another Lisa, there seems to be a Lisa thing. Lisa, you know, talking about having a family history of addiction. And Rick, the same, talking about having a family history and felt different. He was isolated in his own mind. And Lucy talking about the supportive environment that she came from, but the disease that she had with life. And Chris talking about the fact that it come from a normal middle class background, but he always felt different and he didn't fit in. And Lynn talking about her normal upbringing that was trouble free. And then John talking about the war zone and the double life that he led. And that's been my experience with you know, addiction, is that I go to 12-step fellowship and I listen to the stories, the background of the stories of the people, and they're all so different. They're just, everybody's so different. Yeah, that's what our show's about. It's about, you know, knowing that anybody can come along and listen to the stories and listen to it on the radio. And if you've got, you know, a problem with addiction, that there's a solution that's on offer for anybody with any sort of background.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
Throughout the month of June, we're asking you to support fierce, independent and community-controlled media by making a donation to our Radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone and in the station to help keep 3CR going for another year.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377
or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during business hours.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Yeah, Yeah, so by donating to 3CR, you not only support the station, but you also become a part of the community, and that has kept 3CR on air for 50 years, the 3CR family. So if you'd like to donate to the show, we have a budget this year, and I've said it the last few weeks that last year we had a budget, and thanks to the people who donated, who the supporters of the show, we flew past that budget, and that's a really good outcome. And but the outcome of that is that they've raised our budget this year, and we're scooting along with that. And you know, if you'd like to donate, you can call the radio station on 94198377, or you can go online at 3cr.org.au. You know, I'd like to thank some of the people who have already donated to the show this year. You know, we'd like to thank Lucy for her donation, and Rose, Kay, Don, Ken, Andrew, Heather, Jackie, and Mark. And I'll come back and thank some more. You know, we're sort of more than halfway to our target, and really thank the people who've already contributed. But keep it coming. You know, we've got a bit more to go. Yeah, the last bit was talking about the 3CR family. I had an experience this week. I had an opportunity. Yeah, Mike, I came to 3CR. I've been interviewed on this program a few times over the last sort of 10 or 15 years, and at the end of 2024, Bill interviewed me again, and my life has changed dramatically from where it had happened. You know, the first time I was interviewed was probably about 2010, 2011, and then again at some time around about 2016, maybe about 2019, and then 2024. But life has changed so much since I gave up drinking in 2008 and found a solution to the problem of feeling all the things that those people explained about being anxious or not quite fitting in, that feeling like a square peg trying to fit itself into a round hole, and isolating myself from other people, and living so much inside my own head, and my thinking. But I had this experience, you know, through that addiction, I really disconnected myself from the people around me, especially the people I cared about. And what that meant was I stopped caring about people. And I knew, you know, I never felt connected. I always felt just a little bit on the outside. And last, as part of the radiothon, when we had the launch of the radiothon, one of the longer time people here at the radio station got up at the launch and talked about, well, the thing that happens in the radio station of people coming into and doing their show, and it's the only thing they sort of contribute to the radio station. And I love being here. I love coming to 3CR. I love coming in the front door and smiling and seeing the faces of the people here who are so passionate about what they're doing. And it's infectious. It's just so infectious. And I wanted to know how I could contribute more. I felt like one of those people who came in and dropped in and did a show and left. And I was offered the opportunity to answer the phones last Saturday night for radio programs that I never listened to. And my head had me thinking, I'll have plenty of free time. I'll have plenty of free time to do some other stuff whilst who would be listening to jazz on a Saturday? And who would be listening to, you know, Hot Damn Tamale, or who'd be listening to Shake, Rattle and Roll, or who'd be listening to Blues with Feeling, and who would be listening to these shows? And I was wrong. I was just so wrong. I had just had the best time. I've got to say that I'm not really a big fan of old people, but it seems that I've got a lot of old people in my life at the moment, and I'm about to turn 60 and I don't think of myself as old. But I had this experience of just answering the phones to these people who rang up and said, you know, it's Saturday night and this is the only place I get to listen to music that I like. And, you know, these were people who didn't have access to the internet. There were people who didn't have access to the music they wanted, but they knew where they could hear it. And they had a regular thing that they did on a Saturday night. And that night, last Saturday night, they had someone they could ring and tell someone about it. And the connection I felt, which is the exact opposite of what addiction is about. You know, I'm sitting there with people, listening to people I have never met. I'll probably never meet them, and feel connected to them as they tell me their story and a bit of background. And they've been donating for this amount of time and that amount of time, and they've been listening to these shows, and they're loyal to people like Werner and Mark who are presenting the shows on the night, and the blues crew who came in that night. And it's just, that's been my experience of coming to 3CR, is that I feel part of. And it continues to grow my recovery. And I have the joy of actually coming here to present a radio program that offers people hope. And, you know, 3CR, it's been going for 50 years. And this I think that I know that I was looking for hope when I had to face the decision of did I want to live or did I want to die, and that was where it came to for me in 2008. It was do I want to live, do I want to die, and I really wanted to live. I just didn't know how to do it, and I tried so many different things. And I've got to say that Alcoholics Anonymous wasn't my first choice. You know, I haven't met many people who come to Alcoholics Anonymous and go, actually, I've got a drinking problem. What I'll do is go to AA. It's a place of last resort. I've tried everything else and nothing else has worked. And what I'm going to do is go to this place where it looks like a cult, and it's got the word God up on the wall, and it looks a bit scary, and no, they don't understand what I'm going through because I'm so unique and terminally unique in that case, that I'm thinking this way, I'm feeling this way. I don't share with other people how I feel or how I think because I know the thinking isn't right. I'm completely self-centered. The world is all about me. Alcohol comes first. Alcohol just comes first. And coming to be able to contribute here as a volunteer at 3CR has changed my world in the last 18 months, and I'm unbelievably grateful, and I get a chance to show that gratitude by giving back a little bit. So yeah, we'd encourage you to to donate. Did you know that all 3CR donors receive the best gift, the joy of giving to their community? And and the radio is made by real people for people. And and so I'm reading some of these things out, and they touch my heart as it's happening. So we might play some music and then come back and have a little bit more listen to people's experiences of finding hope in their recovery from addiction.
Wondering how to pay your donation to 3CR Radiothon? It's easy. You can pay online at 3cr.org.au. Or call us any weekday with your credit card details on 03 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during office hours and pay by cash or card. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277 Collingwood 3066. And be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
3CR, celebrating 50 years. 3CR, celebrating 50 years.
3CR Community Radio Melbourne is Australia's first community radio station owned and operated by a federation of community organisations.
Hello and welcome to the very first edition of Women on the Line, the national program of women's news and current affairs.
We're at our new studios in Cromwell Street, Collingwood, and the news brand spanking new transmitter just north of the Collingwood Town Hall.
This is the whole importance of having 3CR and public radio, is the fact that for the first time you were hearing a black person's view about his life.
It does represent a unique achievement in democratising the airwaves, not only in Australia, but in the world.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
Make your donation during our annual Radiothon. To donate, call 03 9419 8377 or go online at 3cr.org.au.
Welcome back to Living Free on 3CR Community Radio, 855 on the AM dial. You could be listening to it on digital radio, 3CR, or you could be live streaming on 3cr.org.au. We're plugging the radiothon, and we'd like you to donate. To 3CR. Your support has kept us on air since 1976 and kept alive by 50 years of listener support. So join the legacy. Before the break, we heard John Butler, and I play that song every time I'm on the radio. He covers all the addictions, whether it be television or whether it be your phone or whether it be anything, the gambling, food, and that's what we want to do. We want to talk about the fact that we have on this show. We know that people suffer from addictions to behaviours that rock their moral code. I know for me, my experience was that when drinking was the thing that I always felt a little bit uncomfortable. I couldn't tell you what was wrong, but I knew that something wasn't quite right when I grew up. You know, my experience was that I learnt to lie at a really young age, and it helped me to fit into some friendship groups and do some stuff when I was really young. You know, I laugh about the fact that my mother would send me down the street to buy her cigarettes, and I couldn't come home without saying that I'd been swooped by a bird or nearly hit by a car, or say something that made my life look a lot more interesting than I thought it was. And I knew it was wrong, and in the pit of my guts, I knew that dishonesty wasn't the way to go. But I you know, got a group of friends by making up stories, and at the end of my primary school years, I still had some brain cells at that stage, and I was living out in near Lilydale, and I got a scholarship to go to a private school in St Kilda, and my mother was never going to be able to afford to send me to a school like that, and I joined a you know, a bunch of new friends. I made a whole bunch of new friends at the age of 12, and I started those friendships in lies as well. And then I played a game for the rest of my life of, I hope those people never meet those people. And that just takes so much energy. And my experience was that I found alcohol. You know, I always felt guilty about the way that I behaved, about the lies that I told, the way I lived my life, trying to fit in with other people, the facades I had to put up, all the masks I had to wear to maintain, because I never felt that I was enough. And yeah, that Michael being Michael was never going to be enough for those people. And I didn't know any better. And what I found was when I had my first drink of alcohol, it just changed me. Absolutely just changed the way I felt, and it changed the way I thought, and it gave me the ability to not care. And I found that the guilt that I feel from being dishonest dissolves in alcohol. And my experience with alcohol from the very first time I had it was that once I drink, I can't control how much I drink. And if you know, if I could be my stuff is that if I could be a couple of drinks drunk all the time and just take the edge off, I would be a couple of drinks drunk all the time and just take the edge off. But every time I have a drink, I get drunk. And it started at the age of 13 or 14, and you know, it just got worse. And I changed my life to suit the way that I drank. Yeah, you know, that's a common experience that I hear from people coming into the studio and talking about their you know, we'll talk about alcoholism today, but you know, their alcoholism, that once they start, they can't stop. They may want to stop. They don't have any intention at all of being drunk this time. You know, they've got important things to do. They've got a wedding to be at, or they've got a work function. You know, my experience is that I couldn't go out for, you know, the boozy lunch with the people I worked with. I couldn't go out for drinks at lunchtime because, you know, they were going back to work. And once I'd had a couple of drinks, I wasn't going back to work. I was going to play pool or pinball machine or find something else to do, or I'd rock back up at the office or wherever I was working, and I would be smashed. And you know, it doesn't lead to a good career path, and then I've got to make lies up around it again, or not showing up for work. You know, alcohol just in the end just took over my life. So yeah, that's the reason for our show, is that if you've had that same sort of experience, whether it be alcohol or drugs, or you know, it could be sex, it could be gambling, the thing that where it gets in the way of all the ways you would like to live your life, you can listen to this radio program and hear people share those same stories. They're not water cooler stories. When you go to work in the morning on a Monday and people say, hey, what did you do on the weekend? They go, well, I wet the bed. You know, that isn't a common story, but that was what was happening to me on the weekend. It was getting out of control. I was drink driving every, you know, pretty much every day at the end of my drinking. And, you know, I put my kids in the car because I didn't want to leave them at home when I had to run out and get more alcohol, because there wasn't a choice about whether I was going to go and get more alcohol. The fact is that I'd started drinking and I couldn't pull up, you know, and everybody came second to that desire to have more. This physical thing that happens in my body that makes you have to crave more things, and then I do things against my morals, and I feel worse and worse about myself. And I've got that negative voice in the back of my head that's telling me, hey, you're a piece of shit. Oh, you know, normal people don't do this. You're not right. And that just drives it even more. So, yeah, that's the reason for our program. If you have those sort of feelings, then maybe you can listen and hear other people talk about those things and say, you know what, there is something on offer to this hope that you can recover from that sort of position. Because it leads us, you know, I knew that I wasn't going to drink myself to death. The chances are were that, you know, I was going to drive my car very fast into a very slow tree. And there's lots of examples around that where you see flowers at the bottom of trees in the middle of nowhere, and you wonder what happened there. where people just got to this jumping off point and they've gone, I can't live with it and I can't live without it. What am I going to do? And that's a unbelievably hopeless place to be in. But there's something on offer to people who are feeling like that, that they can find a solution to that problem. I have no idea what that, you know, when I got there, I had no idea what that would look like. But I tried psychologists, I tried, you know, counselling, I tried controlling my drinking, I tried doing all these different things, thinking I'll just manage it better. If I just manage it better, if I just manage that relationship that I'm burning to the ground at the same time, and if I could just be a better dad, and if I could just be this, or I could just be that, everything, if I could just line the ducks up, everything, I wouldn't need to drink the way I drink, and I just couldn't change the way I drank. So, we'll hear some stories of hope a little bit later in the show. We've got some clips of people talking about what it looks like now, and we might we'll read some more donations and say thank you to the people who have come in and have donated to the program. I'd like to thank Wayne, my brother-in-law, thank you very much for donation, and to Jenny, and to Amanda, and to Daniel, and to Susan, and to Jill. I have to turn the page. It's really impressive. I'm really thankful to the people who have donated to the show, Siobhan, Grace, and I'll read out some more a little bit later on. 3CR is unique, and so are you, and our listeners, and our community. You know, the 3CR is made up of a bunch of people. I come here because there's so many different people who are doing, you know, the thing that they're passionate about, and I may not agree with all the things that they have about on their shows, but the enthusiasm, I'd love to ride the coattails of the enthusiasm of the people here, and it just gives me a lust for life, and it gives me a whole heap of new opportunities to connect with people that I would normally not have anything in common with, I thought, and I was wrong. Yeah, so we might play some more music and then come back and listen to some hope stories of hope. So, yeah, if you've ever enjoyed just a single program on 3CR, then that's a great reason to support the station with a donation and make sure we're here for you tomorrow. And, you know, 3CR programs can be honest in their assessment of issues, music and current affairs. And this fearless independence is only possible thanks to our loyal donors, and that can be you. So donate today. And you can donate by ringing the station on during business hours on 94198377, or you can go to the website at 3cr.org.au. Before the break, I just shared a little bit about, you know, my experience of getting to Alcoholics Anonymous, and in a place of complete hopelessness. I was 41 years old, and I'd been in a marriage for 17 years. My daughters were 11 and 8. I had a moment of clarity during some school holidays in June of 2008, where I saw that they were scared of me. And I'd never seen it in their eyes, but there again, I was drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning, as I was, you know, just because it was 9 o'clock in the morning on a weekday. I happened to have a weekday off, and they were there, and I was drunk at nine. You know, and what looked like to get drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning for me was, you know, I'd drink white wine, but I have to get that first one in me. I have to, you know, I'd never drank beer. And it was too early, much too early to be drinking spirits. And I'd have a white wine and have to mix it with lemonade or lemonade or something just to get it down me. Orange juice or something just to get it into me. And my body would reject it. My body would want me to gag it back up. My body's screaming at me, don't put it in me, don't put it in me, don't put it in me. And I'm just doing anything I can because I know that once I get the first one in, the second one will go in okay. And that was what the end of my drinking looked like. You know, I was a daily top-up drunk. You know, I was drinking. I joke about how much I drank. You know, I drank, I think I told the doctor, 3.9 litres of alcohol a week. And they went, it doesn't sound like a lot. And I went, you don't understand. It's a 700ml bottle and it's 40% alcohol, and that's 280ml of alcohol. And you multiply that by 7 and that's 1.96 litres of alcohol. And then I'm drinking, you know, 10 litres of red wine a week, and that's the 1.3 litres of alcohol. And you add the, you know, the 1.95 to the 1.3 and you've got 3.2 litres of whatever alcohol, bugger the stuff that's been mixed with it. And I can't stop. And through going through a rehab for me, and then being introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous at that particular rehab, you know, I heard people get up and tell stories that were like mine. You know, I heard people talk about crashing cars and having run-ins with police and fighting and violence and things like that. And that wasn't my story. I didn't have that stuff. But this guy got up at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and he talked about how he felt when he was sober, and he talked about how lonely he was. and how he didn't fit in, how he, when he was sober, he hated everybody. And when he was sober, he just didn't fit in and he couldn't talk. And all he did was think and have these unbelievable plans in his head and just spent all his energies just thinking. And I just sat there and went, wow, there's other people who think like I think. I just didn't know that that existed. And I thought I was just different to everybody else. And through a process of surrender to the fact that, you know what, I'm never going to be able to control the way I drink. If I drink, I'm going to get drunk. And therefore, that I need to make a decision to not drink. And I need to find a way to not do that. And Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, isn't a program that shows people how to not drink. It doesn't show me how to stop drinking. It shows me how to stay stop drinking through. And the solution to that is thinking of others. And it's not something I'd ever tried before. I was so focused on me. I was so selfish. I was so dishonest. I felt bad about myself because of the actions that I was taking in my life. And AA's shown me a way of living that allows me to connect with other people. And I'm going to play a clip now of some stories of hope of what looks like today for the people who've come into the radio station throughout the last year. And there again might be about six or seven stories of short clips of what their life looks like today. Yeah, so what's it look like now? Like, what does life in Alcoholics Anonymous look like, and then life outside in the real world as well?
Life's life. It's like my that wife came back and stayed, so we've been together 39 years now, married 37. Those kids have grown up. That one-year-old boy is now 36.
Mm.
Daughter's 40, and they've had their struggles, but that's okay. Everyone has struggles, and life today, you know, AA has allowed me to be a really good dad and a really good grandfather and a really good son and a really good husband, all those things that I never knew how to do.
I know people say, oh God, you know, you go to a program and you have to work. Well, yeah, I'm sorry. If you want to get well, you actually do have to work for it. You've got to take a lot of action and you've got to do things that are the most uncomfortable things in your world. But the benefit from that and the outcome is that you get to live a life that isn't ruled by your fears and isn't ruled by, feeling judged.
I'm understood. You know, everywhere in my everyday life, I feel misunderstood and all that sort of feeling and stuff. And in AA, I walk in there, and as soon as I'm honest, instantly people pick up on it, and I feel like I'm with my people.
Mm.
What it looks like now is great, and that's because I've done stuff to stay sober. I remember that day that I had that insight into what my future would be, and I rushed into a meeting that I was driving to, and I said to an older sober woman, please help me get through the steps, because I hadn't done the steps, the 12 steps of recovery. And so she said yes. We went through the literature together. We read about recovery and we did those 12 steps in order. In case it's of use to you to know, since I did the steps, I haven't had a drink. I haven't had a craving for a drink. I don't think a drink will fix anything in my life. And I live life without that thought that a drink would help or make things better.
I have a life today, and that's because of recovery. And I have to continue to do recovery to keep what I've got, you know. And because when I came into recovery, I had nothing. I was suicidal. I owned nothing. Yeah. I didn't have any self-respect, dignity, self-worth, you know. And now I can be a person of integrity. I can actually do what I say.
What does your life look like now, and what has Alcoholics Anonymous done to allow that?
I have a lot of the same things in my life that I had before, I suppose. You know, I'm lucky enough to have had relationships repaired with, you know, my family and lots of friends and lots of communities I was a part of before, sports clubs. I live in a similar area, but Alcoholics Anonymous has made me grateful for all of those things. And I was one of those people that would roll their eyes at all the speakers that would say, I'm a grateful alcoholic. And I'd be like, gratitude, give me a break. Oh my God, go write a list. But I am a grateful alcoholic today, and I feel gratitude about some of the smallest things.
Being an NA then sort of comes with a responsibility to help others. So how's that work in your life?
Early days, I've got to be really honest. You know, I thought I was helping others, but I wasn't. very selfish individual. By nature, I am selfish.
Yep.
It's only recently where I've really understood the meaning of being useful and being of service and showing up for others. And that's been a game changer as well, because I spend a lot of my recovery in my own head and telling my first sponsor that I was helping others and getting out there and making phone calls. But really, I was sitting on my bed in a dark room vaping, which I don't vape anymore. But so to actually genuinely get off my backside and get to meetings and talk to newcomers, make phone calls. I've just started sponsoring a couple of women, just thinking of other people and not myself. It's really shifted my recovery for the better.
Yeah, because I think the other thing is, once you try and share your recovery, it helps you to put your own recovery in perspective and what's important and what they need to know. You're sort of thinking about them, but trying to explain it, you've got to know it yourself.
Absolutely. It did. It forced me to pick up my game and actually get recovery.
Yeah,
I actually have to have recovery to be able to talk recovery. So that's been a game changer.
Yeah, that's right.
And I can fast forward it. I'm somebody that couldn't read and write when I come to AA and learned to read and write and end up getting 2 degrees. But I started to live a life that I couldn't do or never wanted to do anyway.
Yeah.
Get a job, hold a job down, pay rent, pay bills, all that sort of stuff people do naturally happened in that point.
Yeah, wow.
So basically I'll fast forward to the 25-year point,
That's 2010. 2010.
There you go.
God, you're an old man.
Yeah. And basically my life has improved. I've got a life today. I had a life, It's just, I hear it in the rooms, it's not the life I chose, but it's a life, and it's still not the life I would have chosen. But I've got this. I've got a partner. I've got kids. And I've
not even kids anymore.
Sorry?
They're a bit older than kids now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they're adults now.
Yeah. Oh, hang on. I want to talk about, I know you. Okay. So people think that we come to AA and then the drinking's all, we've got to separate ourselves from it. But I'm watching your T-shirt. I know you hang out in places that alcohol is served. That's my experience with you, is that we go and see bands. We do things we haven't separated ourselves from the life of people who drink. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Yeah, because I'm always been into a fan of music, and I like live music. I like to support local music. I like international. I'm of an age where it was through the punk, alternative, post-punk, all that kind of life, world, music, and I go out and see those bands and classic rock bands, and it's always been there, and it's something that's quite fulfilling and exciting, and I can do that sober, and then there's people that are around in those situations that drink, and we can go to licensed venues, I can go anywhere along, and also I see a reflection in them that how I don't want to be at times too,
Apparently they've just changed the carpet at the old bar again.
Is drinking costing you more than money? Alcoholics Anonymous provides a free and anonymous recovery service to anyone who wants to call it quits. Join millions of other alcoholics worldwide and take your first brave steps toward a new beginning. There are thousands of AA meetings happening every week across Australia. If you'd like to find your closest meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous or have any questions regarding this tried and tested treatment for alcoholism, call 1300 AA, that's 1300 22 22 22, or visit aa.org.au. This community service announcement is sponsored by Alcoholics Anonymous.
This is Sam Pang, and I am encouraging everyone to donate to the 3CR Radiothon. The target, $300,000, celebrating 50 years. I did my time here, which sounds like a prison term, but that's not what I'm talking about. I had a wonderful time here, and I just encourage everyone to donate.
You're listening to Living Free on 3CR People Powered Radio. And if you'd like to listen to one of our many podcasts, You can find us on your preferred podcast platform, or just listen or search for 3CR Living Free and check out our website. Today, really, we've been just talking about recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, and just heard some stories of hope from the people who have come out the other side and were living a life beyond, you know, their wildest dreams. And you know, my experience of that is that they told me I could have a life beyond my wildest dreams, and the only thing that's changed is my dreams. Life has improved because what I thought was important just is no longer important. And I've found that, you know, connection to others is the solution to the problem that I suffered from. And I get that by coming to 3CR and being here as part of the team and the crew at 3CR, but also belonging to the team at the Living Free Show. You know, I love presenting the stories of other people and listening to their, you know, stories of hope. So I hope that you've enjoyed doing that. It's coming up to tax time, so all donations over $2 are tax deductible. So where would you rather put your money? Where would you rather put your money? And, you know, NAM has one of the greatest music scenes in the world, and 3CR is a key part of that creative ecosystem. So making a donation means that you two are helping to keep that scene alive. And don't forget that 3CR presenters are volunteers who dedicate many hours each and every week to bring you truly radical radio and voices from the community. Your donation represents a vote of thanks for all the unpaid efforts of those and these dedicated programmers. So, yeah, we'd love you to donate to the Living Free Show or to 3CR in general, and you can call the radio station during business hours on 9419 8377, or you can go on the website at 3cr.org.au. That's all the time we've got for today, and I'd like to thank you for listening, if you've been listening. You can listen to one of our podcasts. This will be up and running probably in the next week. You know, and I hope you'll join us again next week when Anne will be presenting the show with a guest from Al-Anon.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.